Visiting today with Rich Nelson from Allendale, the latest crop production and WASDE report has been released today. So give us the highlights.
You know, as far as today's report, the trade has a lot of things that they can look at where things can go wrong or we can see some surprises. But really, in most of these discussion points, most of these numbers were within reason. Now, we can argue that USDA's small increases for corn and soybean production revisions from last fall's harvest, they are reasonable and within trade expectation. One thing which does kind of stand out is the U.S. corn ending stock number raised 1.493 billion to now 1.540. And that came with a good drop for export sales, which is actually surprising because we've been above their previous December numbers. So maybe a disagreement with USDA's bearish looking corn stock number. As far as soybeans, USDA did raise stocks a minimal amount, going from 340 to now 350 million bushels. That was within the trade expectation, so no big surprises there. South American crop numbers, you know, they lowered Brazil's crop from 144 to 139 million tons, probably within what the trade's kind of talking about right now. Argentina's bean crop was lowered by 3 million tons. Same type of story there. Wheat had some interesting issues here. USDA did recognize wheat export sales are a problem, so they raised U.S. wheat stocks. And also on this report, unique to the other markets, we actually did see winter wheat plantings reported this morning, and really USDA's moderate 700,000 acre increase for winter wheat plantings relative to the trade expectations. So on most of these numbers, except for corn export sales, USDA's number is pretty much within the trade expectation here.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like this report was pretty friendly to beans and a little bit bearish for wheat. Would you agree with that?
I certainly would. And, as far as discussion points on these series of four separate reports out today, there's a lot of things where USDA could give us bullish or bearish news. So the fact that these numbers were not dramatic for the most part, the trade kind of breathes a sigh of relief here.
Well, I know we're still seeing a slow export pace. So how is this going to affect the numbers now and also going forward?
You know, and certainly the easiest market to discuss starting out is simply the wheat side. And wheat export sales, we've been missing their prior year their expectations for several months. And you could even argue with today's 15 million bushel decline for wheat export sales, USDA probably is still a little too high. Now, as far as corn export sales, we're actually doing quite well. In fact, to meet USDA's newly lowered estimate, sales can fall to 22% below the five-year average from now through August, and we'll still meet USDA's goal. So we might be a bit ahead of USDA's numbers on corn. As far as numbers on soybeans, that's where the big question is. We actually were meeting their December and now unchanged January export goal, but boy, we all have all these questions about what will be seen from here on out of Brazil. And as we all know, Brazilian bids are now cheaper than the U.S. on the export market.
Yeah, I was going to say, we did see a pretty big reduction in soybean crops in not just Brazil, but several places.
Certainly right. And though they didn't really adjust the numbers for the Chinese soybean numbers, which a lot of us were looking at, the general message for this report was a production revision for the soybean story. And, like you mentioned, U.S., we've got Brazil, we've got Argentina declines here. So in the trade focus, in addition to that, Paraguay, the main issues have been covered. We've recognized lower supply, but we're still going to hold some type of premium on maybe perhaps a second cut in supply up ahead.
You know, I really thought 2 years later we would be over talking about like how the COVID numbers would affect these numbers. But with the latest variant of Omicron, is that going to affect anything going forward? Or do you feel like we're just going to kind of keep talking about this maybe forever, really, at this point?
Very good point here. And what you're mentioning here as far as the virus numbers, these are quite important because these have just plain ballooned in just the past 2 weeks. These are significant increases being shown. The death number is not rising dramatically, but certainly the caseload, we are far over what was seen in the previous hump back in January. Brand new record highs here on the U.S. side. As far as a market impact, I'm not quite sure what we're going to do here because the markets are saying, hey, we're probably nearing some type of peak in the current variant of Omicron. We probably will be lowering numbers in the coming days, but On the other hand, these big numbers haven't had the same hit to us as previous runs on the virus side.
Well, you've talked about U.S. crop rating numbers, and why are these important? Can you explain that to us a little bit?
Sure. So as far as ratings go, these are quite important as we go through a growing season. And, ratings numbers will be restarting on the U.S. side as far as the weekly numbers once we go back into the end of March. And that will start certainly for the wheat side. Now, there's also a discussion point about winter wheat ratings by some specific states. We have a handful of states, ag departments, which release their own rating numbers during the wintertime. And so far, these numbers have been showing good declines, specifically for the hard red states.
Well, let's talk a little bit about cotton numbers.
Certainly right. And included in today's mix of news, which we've all been kind of watching carefully on, is the fact that USDA did make revisions here for the completed cotton harvest. And this came from changes on acreage, changes on yield as well. So new numbers were dropping from 18.3 million bales from the previous estimate, now 17.6. So our numbers have certainly been reined in. Ending stocks in the U.S. side reined in from 3.4 million bales to now 3.2. So in terms of the trade's viewpoint on this market here, certainly the way the cotton market reacted with a 150-point increase today, this was seen as positive.
Do you think that will continue?
You know, as far as this discussion point on the cotton price side, I think a lot of us will be really focused on what's seen as far as plantings this year up ahead. Winter wheat plantings up only 700,000 acres. That does allow perhaps a few extra acres in portions of Texas, for instance, which may be moving back to, which may want to plant a little cotton if they can get that fertilizer. So as it stands, we've got an uptrend in cotton prices. I do think we will retest the November price highs, but breaking past that, I'm not sure if we'll get there just yet.
What is the drought? Because so many states, I know that we're experiencing some of that here as well, but what is the drought going to do for these numbers?
And that's a really good question. So the drought, of course, is a major issue on grain as well as livestock discussions. And the drought side, certainly for our planting discussion, is another issue on top of that. So the trade's looking at it, the easy guess is, sure, some higher winter wheat plantings, if possible. If they have it in the far, if they have the moisture in the south, they'll do an extra, a little bit of corn. Certainly quite a bit more of sorghum or milo acreage lined up. The question for us all is, what is a corn planting discussion going to be in the plains as well as the Western Corn Belt with this continued drought from last year, the drought which is supposed to stay with us through spring, and these U.S. forecasters are not quite telling us it's going to get fixed by the time summer rolls around. So it will be a question for us.
Well, you mentioned livestock. What do the livestock numbers look like for this report?
And this is really interesting because USDA had some options they could have done as far as today's report on the livestock side specifically. As far as the beef production side, they did add a little bit production. They said that, hey, our cow kill is larger than normal with this, as you talked about the drought before here. We know about the issues with higher carcass weights because we have a small backup going on right now, a very small backup. So with that in mind, USDA did raise the 2022 beef production number. It's still lower than last year, by 3%, but it has been narrowed a little bit here. As far as the pork side, USDA responding to last month's bullish hogs and pigs report, they did drop this U.S. Production number for 2022 by 80 million pounds. So the issue for us here on the meat side, beef production down 3% for the year as a whole. Pork will be down 4% and 2% for the first two quarters, and the next two quarters where they back up. So definitely the first half of the year supply will be generally tight for meat supplies.
Well, and it's going to be interesting to watch too. If these processing speeds don't get picked up because of COVID, that's going to affect a lot of things.
And it certainly will. And this is something we're watching and get very closely. Now, as far as the labor issue and the processing issue side, it's the numbers are worse for hogs as far as the daily slaughter misses. But that's kind of being minimized because we have a very small hog herd ready for processing right now. So that's one kind of offset. This is an issue that the cattle inn has to watch very closely. For right now, this week's daily misses have been about 5,000 head. If this increases in the coming week, then we'll have something to talk about, especially as the fact that our tight supplies for beef, they only last with us for another month, month and a half. If these disruptions are still with us in spring, when we'll have a lot of numbers waiting for us, that's when we'll have certainly a much bigger price impact.
All right, Rich Nelson from Allendale, thank you so much for visiting with us today.
Happy to help. Thank you so much.